Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:33 on a Monday night in Lansing. Michael Cohen with producer James Plady. Thanks for sticking around with us. Well, an opinion piece in the New York Times today titled Facebook is Using You talks about how the company is making the vast majority of its money via advertising and more so allowing advertisers to target you based on your personal information. Beyond that, your online info can have some very far-reaching and negative consequences. How? Well, I'm going to ask the author of the article, Lori Andrews, a law professor at the Chicago-Kent College of Law and the author of the book, I Know Who You Are, I Saw What You Did, Social Networks and the Death of Privacy. Lori, thank you for joining me.
Sure.
After reading your article, I was ready to run out and buy some stamps and envelopes and throw my computer away.
I think that's a good idea because in lots of ways your online self has become more important than your offline self. So 35% of employers say if they see a drink in someone's hand on a Facebook page, they won't hire them. Even an innocent, you know, wine at a wedding. And 1 in 5 college admissions officers are looking at social network information. And so you may find things like in a custody case, a woman has lost custody of a child because of a sexy post on her boyfriend's MySpace page. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing it enter the legal system. And, you know, as a lawyer, I got fired up about what people can do about it and what right to privacy we really need to push for.
It sounds like maybe Photoshop can save us from those pictures of us holding drinks. But let's start with Facebook. How does the company work with advertisers to make sure that they customize the ads to us personally?
Okay, so think about this. $3.2 billion, the bulk of their revenue, 85% of their revenue, was made by targeting ads to us, so they will use information like relationship status, location, activities, what my favorite book is, where I work, in order to target ads. Google does the same thing. They take information from your Gmails and from your Google searches, and sometimes it can be a good thing. Maybe you'll get a money off at your favorite shoe store, but sometimes it can be a bad thing because insurers, credit card agencies might look at information, like if you've searched for guitars, and if guitar players are more likely to renege on their credit card bills than others, that information will be taken into consideration when you go to a credit card website to get a card. Mm-hmm. If you've searched for Alzheimer's disease or hand tremors for your grandparent or for a friend, that information can be taken into consideration when you apply for insurance online.
So here's what I want to know. How do they, I mean, do they actually track the information and tie it to you directly? I mean, is there no anonymity there? Are they not looking at just you as an anonymous person? They're actually tying it to your name and your identity completely?
Well, as long as they tie it to your computer, your IP address, then anything else you do, if you apply for a car loan online, if you apply for a job online, then all those pieces of information will go with it. One company, Axiom, has 1,500 pieces of information on 96% of Americans. Everything from, you know, credit score to, in some cases, what medications you're on. So that can travel with people. You know, some people say, oh, I'm not upset because my name's not attached. But if you have, you know, 16 pieces of information, like what zip code you're in and what car you drive and how many kids you have and those sorts of things, it's pretty readily identified as you, and it's particularly identified as you if you do anything else from that same computer.
I'm talking to Lori Andrews, a law professor at Chicago-Kent College of Law. Her book, I Know Who You Are, I Saw What You Did, Social Networks and the Death of Privacy. How do employers go about finding these pictures of people with drinks in their hand?
Well, actually, companies have sprouted up. One called Social Intelligence markets the last 7 years of your public, you know, Facebook pages. So if you all of a sudden take down your Facebook page before applying for a job or you enhance the privacy settings, that information is still available through that company. They also look at anything you might have put you know, based on your email and so forth, on Craigslist. So I saw one report from that company to an employer which said, oh, this person tried to organize a legalized marijuana group through Craigslist. You should know this about the applicant. And in Maryland and Massachusetts, there already were employers who asked for your private Facebook password in order to get into the, you know, party photos and so forth. Just last week, an Illinois lawmaker introduced a law in Illinois, a bill that says you can't, you know, if you're an employer, you can't ask for the private password. You know, people should have the right to remain silent about their activities.
The interesting thing is there are a lot of questions you cannot ask at a job interview, but it sounds like employers have way more information.
Sure.
They don't need to ask anything. They can just get your name and just not call you back right off the bat.
For sure.
Are there no laws at all to restrict access to this kind of private information?
There's very little. And one big problem is some decisions that courts have made. There are wiretapping laws. Think about it. If the cops wanted to tap my phone, if someone broke into my house, there'd be trespass laws, privacy laws. But courts have said it doesn't violate the wiretap statutes if one party gives permission. So if Facebook gives permission, or if a website you go on gives permission, or if your internet service provider gives permission, they don't need your permission to copy your personal information. So that's been the stumbling block. I think there should be, permission should be required from the person whose private information is being sold. I think there should be a do not track on the internet law, like a do not call law. And I think the right to privacy should apply to our online self, not just our offline self.
Now, there's a lot that happens on the internet, some that's appropriate, some that's maybe slightly inappropriate, some that's adult-related. Do data aggregators, do they track literally every kind of activity we do, or are there some areas of internet activity that they're not interested in?
Well, companies, data aggregators, make individual decisions. So, like Healthline Network says, okay, we're not going to collect information and use it about people's searches for HIV or impotence. On the other hand, they do collect information about whether you've looked at any website having to do with bipolar disorder or anxiety and make that available to advertisers. So it's up to the individual data aggregator. In one of the most offensive things to me, in California, Nebuad made deals with internet service providers and copied for 400,000 people every email they sent, every web search they did, and so forth. Now, California happens to have a constitutional right to privacy that's very strong, and so there was just a settlement a month ago in the case, saying that violated people's right to privacy. But can you imagine if your internet service provider, whatever it is, Verizon, Comcast, I don't know which one you use, but said, oh, that's okay to a company to take every private email between you and a psychiatrist
that
or a lawyer or a lover.
Sounds frightening. but just to confirm that, when an employer is able to pull information out about you, they don't have access to our emails, right? This is stuff that's posted on things like Facebook and are in some way public to at least.
Sure. That is true. So they use the more public ones, but insurers and credit card companies to which you apply online have access to your searches and things like that. They can buy access to other things you've done on the web.
That sounds incredible. In fact, now I'm imagining someone sitting there with a huge pile of data about you. Probably could spend days looking at the activity. But that is, I guess ultimately there's nothing we can do, though. I mean, when you get online and you're being tracked in some way, very realistic.
You can search in incognito mode on Google Chrome. You can delete cookies, not accept search engine cookies. But I think the rules need to be changed to not allow that tracking to begin with unless you've specifically opted in. So if I want a coupons from a particular clothing store, I want to know about an airline sales, I opt into it rather than have my every move on the web, tracked. And so we're seeing some real unfairness. This 24-year-old high school teacher, Ashley Payne, in Georgia, had gone to Ireland for her summer vacation. She posted 700 pictures of the vacation. In one, she had a beer in her hand at the Guinness factory. It's a lovely photo, no drunken antics. And she got forced out of her job as a high school teacher, even though she had not friended any students, friended any parents of students. And so, in some ways, things that shouldn't make a difference are now being used to stand in for traits that we should care about.
I guess those of us that grew up before the internet age, we should be grateful that most of our crazier antics have there's a record of that.
Yeah, and now, in fact, there's a technological fix being proposed that where people's digital photos would self-destruct after 2 years. So your drunken buddy hot tub photos would, like, disappear when you're running for Congress.
I see. Yep, indeed. Lori Andrews, a law professor at Chicago Kent College of Law. She's the author of the book, I Know Who You Are, I Saw What You Did, Social Networks and the Death of Privacy. You can find her opinion piece titled Facebook is Using You at nytimes.com. Lori, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael.